Well, good morning. I am glad that we could be together on this Sunday morning for worship services, in which we're going to actually continue our study, as I mentioned this past Sunday morning at the end of the lesson, in which we're still talking about spiritual junk food. Now, if you remember, and you might have done it, that of the assignment that we had at the end of the service last Sunday morning, and it was about the junk food that was undernourishing Israel. And one of those that we did talk about was that about their dieting on religious corruption, if you remember that, from last Sunday morning's lesson. And we asked the question, is our religious service nourishing? Just like we've been singing these songs, are we spinning our wheels? Do we really benefit ourselves for being here? Do we benefit one another about being here this morning? And we ask the question, does our religion and our religious practices provide us with nourishment spiritually, or does it bring us corruption? And so we're going to talk about some other things that was undernourishing Israel at the time. And so let's talk about that. We had three other sources that we have to look through in the book of Amos. And as you go back to the book of Amos, we're going to see those outlined for us there. The next thing that we actually see that undernourished Israel was not only their spiritual immorality, but we also noticed that Israel was undernourished because they dieted on self-reliance. And one statement in the book demonstrates a real problem for the Israelites, doesn't it? If you go to Amos chapter 6 and verse 13, and like I said, if you look through there in your study of last week, preparing yourself for this lesson this morning, you might have found and you might have run across a few of these verses that we're going to look at in Amos chapter 6. Now, if you notice in verse 13, Amos chapter 6 in verse 13, he says, "Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength?" In Amos 6 and verse 13, that's just showing that the Israelites were actually rejoicing in self-reliance. Notice that the question is given, have we not by our own strength captured Carnon for ourselves? In this very state, they determined they didn't need God. That's why you look back at verse 10 of Amos chapter 6, and what does it say? And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of what? The latter part of that verse says, of the name of the Lord. They didn't even want to say the name of God, because that was their determination, that they did not need God. Now, once again, your translation that you notice there in verse 13 may say that they captured as horns by their own strength. And if you think about that, horns were a symbol of what? Strength and power. The Israelites were rejoicing that by their own strength they had taken the strength of others captive. And instead of relying on God, they relied on themselves, just as we find in verse 10, once again, of Amos chapter 6. It's very sad to say, but they were feeding on themselves. That's what was happening. Relying on themselves. And we might say, no wonder that their worship of God had been corrupted with self-will. Again, we must not look to the past, but look at our present and future as we look at ourselves today. We have to ask the question, do we rely on self? Do we really need to be here this morning? Do we feel that it's very important that we actually showed up this morning for worship services? Do we believe that it's important to go to God in prayer later on today? Do we believe that it is important to worship Him in spirit and in truth according to His will? Do we believe that it is important to open His Word and read it on a daily basis? Depending on how we answer those questions will show if we are undernourished or not. If we are like them, then we don't find it important at all. And we are relying upon ourselves for everything. We must ask the question, do we think God is just for the really hard times, but from day to day we're good on our own? It's amazing what happens when you get into a boat and you wander around for a little while and the skies are clear. Have we ever been like that? I have. My brother and I, we'd go out on Lake Livingston. Fun times, fun times. But you know what? All of a sudden those clouds moved in. And the waves got pretty rough. We have to ask ourselves, were we truly prepared for what we were going to face against? As the waves were pushing us back towards a wall. That's kind of a scary situation, isn't it? Shoving you around. Did we have anchors? Did we have life vests? You know, those things kind of run through your mind going, did I think that was important before we took off on our beautiful day of adventure and fishing? Spiritually speaking, do we think about those kind of things on our day-to-day activities? Do we look around us and see all that we have accomplished by the strength of our own hands? By what I have done? Or do we acknowledge that God did it all? That everything that we have today is because of God. You look at the Apostle Paul, how many times did he make mention of God for everything? Not just because of the things he was facing in the hard times, but even on the days in which he was able to preach his word and the blessings that he had that we talked about or sang about this morning, count your many blessings. He didn't rely on himself. He relied upon a much higher power. If you notice that was not the only thing there, spiritual morality and that of self-reliance, but Israel was undernourished also because they dieted on materialism. We see that in our country, don't we? Materialism is probably one of the top of the list. That might be one from your study this past week in the book of Amos. If you look at Amos chapter 6, and notice verse 1 if you're still there, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. If you skip on down, notice verses 4 through 6 now. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent them to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I think that's interesting, don't you? That Amos chapter 6, verse 1, verses 4 through 6 that we read there demonstrates the materialism of many of the Israelites. They lay in beds of ivory, it says. They stretched out on couches. They ate lamb. They ate steak. They had time to sit idly around plucking on the harp or inventing new musical instruments. They drank wine from bowls and anointed themselves with oils, it says. They were covered up in material goods. It reminds me of those in Revelations, the church. Remember, it says that they were blind to what was going on around them, that they were naked and destitute. It says that in their minds they had need of nothing. However, it says that they did not mourn the ruin of Joseph in the latter part of verse 6. This is to say that they really didn't even notice the ruin of Joseph, did they? You might say, what ruin? They were in the lap of luxury, we would call that. They counted themselves blessed. They saw the material goods as actually a blessing. God must be on our side because look at all they had. He would not allow them to be judged. He had granted them such blessing. They must be on his good side. But what did God say? Wrong. They were ignoring what was going on around them. And frankly, I fear this for most, for myself and our society. Don't you? We all agree that we have so much. We talk about our blessings. We can easily have the idea because we are so financially blessed that God must approve all that we're doing. And that simply is not the case. If we're feeding on materialism, we can cloak it and talk of the blessings of God, but we're still going to starve spiritually because there is no eternal satisfaction or fulfillment that comes from material goods. Do you believe that? We can talk it up, but when it comes down to it, we're still going to starve spiritually just like they were, because their affections were not on things above. Their heart was not in the right place. We just can't take them with us into eternity, all this materialism that we find today in our world. These things will be dissolved. These things will go away. But there'll be something that lives on that will give in the days of judgment. Our souls. Another thing that Israel was undernourished was because they dieted on immorality. If you back up to Amos chapter 2, and Amos chapter 2, and I want you to notice there in verses 6 through 8 with me, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pan after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God." I believe that that pictures a dreadful picture for the Israelites. It says that they sold the righteous and they trampled upon the poor. A father and son using the same harlot, lying down even by the altar, using garments for bedding they had taken from the poor when they loaned their money. They are defining immorality for themselves, and even mix their immorality with their religion. We'd say that's crazy. If you go to Amos 3 and verse 10, notice there, Amos 3 and verse 10, it talks about reasons for judgment where sin separates the people of God from God. In Amos chapter 3, if you notice there in verse 10, "For they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces." Amos 3 and verse 10 says the Israelites didn't even know how to do what was right. Do you look around today and think that people exist who don't know what is right and what is wrong? That we have defined in our society by our own standards what's right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable? Have I done that for myself? They stored up violence and robbery in their strongholds. They didn't pursue the righteousness and good deeds of God. Rather, they pursued the selfish deeds of immoral wickedness. So we have to get back to us, and we have to think about us for a second, right? I'm sure that we can say we're not as bad as all of that. Yet, do we have to go as far as the Israelites to be undernourished like they were? You ever known people who try to push the limit just to see how much you can get away with? We know that as kids, when growing up, what did we do? How many buttons can I push on my mother and father or brother to see when it's finally enough? Of course, you really didn't, kind of test them out a little bit. You just went for full force, started punching buttons. The Israelites were like that. People today are like that, spiritually speaking. How far can I take it before I cross the line? How much is enough? Think about these questions. How much of our mental diet comes from watching, reading, and listening to immorality? How much? We always have these servings, right? We know the pyramid chart and all that, and all that good stuff we learn in school, and about, we kind of let that go in one ear and out the other, don't we? Because we know what we want. I go to that vending machine. I hit it last night. Kenzie's not there. So, I'm going to go to that vending machine. I was sitting there talking to the dispatcher. Was watching the Food Channel. I hate it when they do that. They're cooking all this good stuff, and I'm thinking, man. Dispatcher, I said, if you got some food, I said, if you go in there and cook, I'll watch the radio. She said, So I went over there, and I put my dollar into the machine, and I got me some chips. I got me some TGIF, potato skin chips with cheddar all over them. I ate those, and then I started thinking, wow, I shouldn't have ate that. Because I'm thinking about this sermon in the morning, right? I'm thinking, man, physically I'm tearing myself up again. Then I decide, the next dispatcher comes in, and he says, DJ, will you run to McDonald's? Okay, I'll go. So I go to get him something to eat. And while I'm at McDonald's, what do? I'm looking at the menu and thinking, man, I need some food. And I end up getting me a 10-piece chicken McNugget. And guess what? Is that really healthy for me? Sitting in that car, air conditioning blowing. I'm thinking, I really don't want to see my arteries right now. But how many times do we think that that's the way the world is? From watching, reading, and listening to immorality. That's kind of the way it is spiritually. Because this outweighs the good stuff. How many times have I opened the Bible versus how many times have I actually looked at something on TV? When we are entertained by sin, it will corrupt our hearts. I believe it was Philip Strong that preached a lesson about being desensitized, if I'm remembering that correctly. That we actually become desensitized to sin. We ask ourselves, why is our country in a position now where you have states saying homosexuality in marriage is okay? That men can get married to one another and that women can get married to another. What's happened? Desensitized by what? There it is. It's a progress, right? We talked about that last Sunday morning, about the cycle that we are constantly in. I think about it sometimes. Kenzie likes to watch I Love Lucy. I don't get into black and white shows, and she's like, well, it's in color now. That's not color. It's a dull color, but she says it's still color. And we think about how back in years and years and years ago, especially when we watch an old show or an old movie, guess what? How often do you see anything, I might use the word risque or something like that? That's unheard of, right? I think Elvis was a big thing when he started doing all his moves, right? Everybody started making complaints about it. Like, oh, you can't show that on TV. What do we have on TV today? We're like, whoa, where did that come from? Flip the channel. There are some people who have were probably living way back, we'll just say 1800s even, and probably would have never thought that things like that happen today would be publicized. I received a call, and a lot of times we'll receive calls about someone says that there's a naked person that's walking around on the streets. And it happens all the time in Center. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. And I have to take those calls, and guess what? So, depending on the generation, the way some define nude is different. They can be wearing almost cut-off shorts. Maybe a guy not wearing a shirt. That's what some have defined nude as. You know, and I found that interesting. Because that's in their mind, of what they have considered. But we think about what is corrupting the hearts. What has happened as generations have continued on? What's happened? Being desensitized. The mental diet has changed. Are we really different from the world, or are we just making sure to keep an arm's length between us and the world? Have we ever thought about that question? Are we just making sure to keep an arm's length between us and the world? Just enough. Just enough. I would suggest that if that's all that we're doing, then as the world turns and the world moves, then we'll actually follow right behind them. We're always going to be an arm's length. Israel was religious. That's what you find in the book of Amos. They were religious. However, they were starving spiritually and heading for a spiritual famine. That's what you find in the book of Amos. Now, you look around at the world today and we look at ourselves. Are we in the same boat? Are we in the same condition as they were? They were feeding on junk food. We must not be like them. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the answer? As we bring our lesson to a close of this part of our lesson, I wish I could say that God gave them the answer and they followed it to the letter. But that's actually not so. Instead, the Israelites continued on in their malnourished ways until they were finally destroyed and captured by the Assyrians. There is another story that we're going to talk about, Lord's willing, next Sunday morning. And we're going to see a malnourished group of God's people who did turn around, who did return to life and strength. And you're going to find that story of King Josiah. And I'm going to ask to be reminded for all of us to look at 2 Kings 22 and 23 throughout this week. And to look at 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. And I want us to think about the soul food that Josiah found. Now there's going to be a few things there that we're going to talk about in those scriptures. And hopefully you will have found them before we even get to the lesson Sunday morning of next week, Lord willing. We've talked about self-reliance. We've talked about self-will. We've talked about self-worship even. We've talked about a good bit so far. As I stated at the beginning of this lesson from last Sunday morning, how much I fear that our nation is eating spiritually about the way it is physically. Fast, easy, tasty, low on nutrients, and sugar-coated. Is that what we are partaking of? Are we eating all of the time but slowly starving ourselves to spiritual death. As we have seen this similar picture from the book of Amos thus far, God promised them an actual famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word. It was not a punishment, as we said, per se, but as a natural consequence. Have we become dull of hearing? Have we lost our focus? Have we hardened our hearts to the point where we're undernourished like Israel, and a spiritual death is occurring? We eat, but are we being nourished? So I appreciate your attention. Think about ourselves once again. Have we put on the body of Christ, looking to the true nourishment that God provides through His Word? Through His Son, who gave His body on the cross for our sins, that we might have the hope of eternal life. Hopefully we put Him on in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. That we truly are, as Christians, still nourishing ourselves with the good and proper food that enriches our souls and others that are around us. If we have found ourselves with the wrong type of mental diet, spiritually malnourished, once again, are we subject at this time? Won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?